John chapter 4, verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be with old friends and new friends here. And Lord, just the ability to be with fellow Christians, Lord, and just fellowship together. Lord, to be able to share the burden for Guam there. And God, I just pray that you'll work tonight, Lord, that you'll help us to be encouraged and helped. And Lord, you know, my desire is to be a blessing. And Lord, I pray that you'll just help us, Lord, tonight with that. And we thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, now, don't you guys say that there's still 4 months and then cometh the harvest? That's what you're going to say, because when you're thinking of the harvest, you're thinking literally of the farms around you, and you think that there's still 4 months. But I'm telling you that you need to lift up your eyes and then look on the harvest, for it is white. Look on the fields, for it is white already in the harvest. And I just want to draw your attention. Can you guess to what phrase? Anybody? It's very... Let's look at the phrase, lift up your eyes. It's ruined. It's been spoiled. It's up there. John 4:35, he says, lift up your eyes. Now, that is, it's in commas, so it is a phrase by itself. He didn't start off by saying, I want you to look up and look at the fields. It was lift up your eyes first. And so there's a couple of things here that I want to notice. First off, to lift up your eyes means that your eyes were down. You were focusing on something already. Now, a lot of people say, well, okay, just keep your head down and get your business done. You know, you've ever heard something like that? Just keep your head down and go about your own business. And so looking, you know, walking with your head down, a lot of times you miss everything that's out and around you. You're not aware of things that are going around you with your head down. And has anybody just been doing homework and or you know, work, and you're studying or you're writing something down in your intent, and somebody could walk up and be standing right in front of you and you didn't even notice it because you were so intent on the work that you were doing, that things going on around you, and you had absolutely no clue. And then you look up and there's somebody and it scares you half to death because you had no idea they were that close. And those are the best times to scare somebody, when they're working or when they're doing their homework, because you can sneak up on them really easy. But... He says, lift up your eyes. I want you to stop focusing on the things that you're focusing on. There's a lot of things that have people distracted. You can go out to restaurants nowadays and you see families still sitting around the table and eating a meal together, which is good. However, you can still see that same family, every single one of them, with their eyes on their phone. They're not even talking to each other. I mean, they might be texting each other, you know, right there next to me and sending... I mean, how useless is that? Just talk to each other. Just enjoy each other's company. And now I will, you know, I like part of Instagram, you know, and so I do. I think Instagram is kind of like the hallmark of today, you know, where you can have some, you know, some little thought or something that you can send to your wife. It's like, oh, yeah, that's how I feel about her. I'm going to send her this, like a card. So I send you cards many times a day, because I love you that much, and I didn't even have to pay for a single one of them. And, but we got our eyes so focused on our phones, or so focused on our work, or so focused on our play, or so focused on other things, and we miss what's going on around us. We miss the needs of the people around us. We miss so much of what's going on because we're so distracted by so many things. And I'll tell you guys, to be honest, I'm a missionary. I get to live on an island where my whole purpose in life, praise the Lord, is to reach people and to show them the gospel and to Lord willing, change lives. And it's fantastic. But there's a lot that goes into that. And so our schedule is like Sunday morning, you know, we have Sunday school at 10, we have service at 11, and then we got to drop everybody off, and then we pick them up again for Sunday night, and we have a service on Sunday night, and then we drop everybody off, because we pick up everybody. We don't have anybody that drives in. So that van you saw, that's our main source of everything. And so we pick up absolutely everybody, and then on Monday is I think one of our only only days where we don't have something going on. And I think we kind of planned it that way on purpose, to have at least a day where it's like, no plans. And we end up going grocery shopping on that day, which is horrible. And so, but then Tuesdays is like ladies' Bible study. And then Wednesday nights is King's Kids. And then Thursday nights is teen girls' Bible study. And then Friday night is youth group. And then Saturday we go out visiting for everybody. And then Sunday already. And it's just like so much going on that it's easy to do the things that are supposed to be helping people and reaching people, but you get so busy doing the busy things that you forget why you're doing it. You're just so busy with the busyness of it that it's like, sometimes my head is down and I have to look up and be like, I need to see the person that I'm serving this to do this for. I'm serving Jesus Christ. The whole thing is to try and please him and to serve him with my life. That's the whole reason we're there. But I can get so busy in the busyness of it to forget why I'm doing it. And as Christians, a lot of times we can forget why we're supposed to be doing something. We forget that I'm supposed to be pleasing the Lord with my life. I'm supposed to be serving Jesus. And we get so busy with all the other things throughout the week, even on a Sunday. On Sundays, we can be so busy, even during church, that we're not even paying all that much attention to the pastors he's preaching, because I'm still thinking about all the things that either went on this week or the things that I have to do throughout this afternoon. And I'm so busy that I forget to pay attention to what's going on at the moment. And so Jesus said, lift up your eyes. I need you to stop focusing on all the things that have you distracted. And we're often distracted. And I want you to stop being distracted for a moment. But when you say lift up your eyes, you know what that means? Look up here. And all kids everybody immediately looks. And that's most of the time when we're teaching kids, we do that on purpose because kids are easily distracted. And so they're talking or they're writing or they're doodling on something. And when you look up here, everybody's like, oh, okay. And they begin to pay attention. So then whatever instruction you have to give them, they will get because now they're paying attention. You know, I love football, okay? And I'm a Chicago Bears fan, unfortunately, and it's just the way it's always been, and it's a hopeless thing to be, but I like them. And so we will watch the game every once in a while. And if the game is on and I'm watching the game and just watching my team get slaughtered and lose, I still enjoy watching it for some reason. But if my wife comes and says, babe, I need you to do something at this moment, I like to think that I can multitask. You know, I like to think that I am watching this, kind of paying attention, but I'm giving her the attention she needs out the corner of my eye. And, you know, she's got a whole ear, at least I've got two. And so I think that I got it. But then so many times she'll be like, did you ever do that? You never even asked me that. I did ask you that. I promise I asked you that. What was I doing? You were watching the game. Oh, I wasn't paying attention like I should have, so I didn't get the instructions. So now she will walk in and be like, babe, I need you to, babe, yes, dear. Okay, let me pause it. Because you can pause football. It's fantastic. And you can continue where you left off. It's the greatest thing ever. I think it was invented for guys who need to listen to their wives. And so you pause it and you listen. And then now that I got you, now that you have my full attention, now that my eyes are on you, and I did this with so many different classes and teaching, I'm like, how do I know you're listening to me? And the answer is always, because we are looking at you. So like my daughter, whose face is down at the moment, now she's taking notes like a good girl. I know that's what she's doing, right? Yeah. So I know, it's just trying to be mean. But if you're not looking, then I don't know if you're paying attention. You're probably doodling on something, or it's better to have your eyes up and paying attention. If you're teaching a dog new tricks, has anybody ever taught a dog tricks? Anybody? All right. What is the first trick you always teach a dog? What you taught a dog. What's the first trick you taught him? Sit. It's always the first one. You know why? Because dogs are just, they're all over the place, especially if you have a treat. They're like so hyper and excited for that treat and that they're not listening. But if you tell them to sit, then you automatically have their attention. You can teach them other things from there. It always goes from, sit to down to roll over. I mean, that was a progression I had. But it's always important to have the attention. And so when Jesus said, lift up your eyes, he wanted them to stop focusing on whatever they were focusing on, whatever had them distracted, and get their eyes on him. Because when our eyes are focused on Jesus, it changes so much about our whole lives. It changes what we think about. It changes about what's important to us. When our eyes are on Jesus, everything changes. It's like men, you know, I got three guys in here. All right, all you three men. we can get so busy with the work to provide for our families, and when we take a moment to lift up our eyes and look at how beautiful our wife is that we fell in love with, we're reminded about how special she is to us. And then we're more inclined to do things for her. When we put our attention on her or our family, then we're reminded about why we love them. When we get our eyes on Jesus, we're reminded about how good he is to us, about what he's done for us, about why we want to serve him in the first place. And it can change what you think. It can change what you can do. And let me illustrate that by this. Go over to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and there's thousands of people following him. Can anybody guess how many thousands of people? Not you guys, because you're cheaters. All right, I'll give you a hint. He's about to feed them. Anybody know how many people, how many thousands? He fed the, sir, fantastic. He feeds 5,000. So there's 5,000. Now that 5,000 is just the men. Okay, so that's 5,000 men, and plus all the ladies and maybe other children that were there. So it could have been 10 to 14,000 people could have been around that area. So these thousands of people are traveling with them, and the disciples come to Jesus and say, you know, it's late, and the people, they should probably go home so they can get something to eat, and so we can get something to eat, you know. And so he sent, and Jesus looks at them and he says, they don't need to go home. You guys can feed them. And guys just aren't good at cooking for large groups of people. That's the ladies. The ladies are fantastic at that. And so you got this whole group of guys like, we're supposed to feed all these people? How in the world? And they begin to go around and take stock of who has food. None of the disciples had food. None of them did. So that's why I think they're trying to tell Jesus they should all go home and eat, because we don't have any food and we'd like to eat. But so they look through and nobody has food, but there was a, who had food? Anybody remember who had food? Austin, who had food? There was a little boy that had a lunch, right? And what was his lunch? Anybody tell me? Okay, you already answered. What was his lunch? Yep. It was 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I think we miss a miracle here that nobody recognizes. The fact that Jesus got a fat kid to give up his lunch. And I mean, that's hard to do. And you say, well, Brother PJ, how do you know he was a fat kid? Because he had 5 loaves and 2 fish for a lunch. That's just excessive, all right? Nobody gives their kid 5 loaves and 2 fish for lunch. Nowadays, you give them 2 slices of bread with peanut butter and jelly in the between, and then you get back all the crust on the outside still because they didn't eat it all. Right? You put in the apple, they don't eat the apple, and they eat all the chips, and they eat, but 5 loaves and 2 fish? You know that kid was a chunk, right? You know he was hefty. And so Bubba gives his lunch to Jesus, and now Jesus has 5 loaves and 2 fish that he's going to feed thousands of people with. Okay, so then you have how many disciples? 12. Okay, so that means 12 baskets. All these guys are going to go out and pass out food to everybody else, so you have 12 baskets. Already the math doesn't work. You have 5 loaves, 2 fish, 12 baskets. If I put 1 loaf into each basket and then each fish, there's still how many empty baskets? How many? I'm giving you the answer. It's 5. So there's still 5 baskets that are empty. And so then Jesus, he blesses the bread and he begins to break it up. And so this is where the miracle starts. Just by watching Jesus take this bread and fish and he begins to put it into the baskets. And he breaks it and he puts it and it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. What's going on here? He's like on his 3rd basket, and this one's full, and this one's full, and how is it still going? And then he's got 8 baskets and then 9 baskets, and it's just like, how is this happening? This is unheard of. This is fantastic. This is amazing. Are you guys watching this? And everybody begins to watch as 12 baskets are filled with food, absolutely full. And it's just like, that was the coolest thing I've ever seen. I was just, That was fantastic. And then each disciple begins to take a basket to pass it out to all these people. And hopefully they were arranged in nice rows like we are here, right? Probably not. They didn't have rows of seats. They were all sitting around on the hillside. And so each disciple takes a basket and they're like, okay, take as much as you want, as much as you want. And all this food, well, I don't know if it's going to last through this whole row. There's a lot of kids here, and there's like a young man right here. He's going to take like most of it. Oh, man, go ahead. Just go ahead. And then it comes back. It's like, did you guys get any food? Everybody is very, very full, and my basket is still full, and we're going to keep going. And so they feed, and they go down, and they pass it down, and it's not running out. It's just amazing. And you know when you get a whole bunch of guys together and you're taking part in this, that, you know, Peter's probably yelling over to James, James, do you still have food? I still have a full basket. I don't know how this is working. Everybody is taking, I just fed this young teenage guy and he took like the whole basket and it's still completely full. I don't know how this is happening. This is the coolest thing. I know, right? Can you believe we get to be a part of this? I mean, we watched him do it, but now we get to be a part of this. This is the greatest thing I've ever done. And I get to feed thousands of people as you watch. And then everybody is fed. Absolutely everybody is full with wonderful bread and fish. What a tasty lunch it was. You know, did they have hot sauce? I hope. Because otherwise it's a very bland meal. But they all ate. And then they come back and there's 12 baskets completely full. And they're like, what do we do with these? I like to think they gave them all back to Bubba so Bubba can take the leftovers home. So Bubba's got 12 baskets all over. He's just bringing all this food home. Mama, Mama, I got all this food, Mama. And Mama comes and is like, Bubba, I told you not to be stealing people's food. I gave you 5 whole loaves and 2 fish because you said you were hungry. And now you're stealing other people's food. This was my lunch, Mama. Look, fish and bread. That's all you gave me. That's all that's in these baskets. Why is there so much? Well, Jesus took my lunch, and we fed thousands of people with my lunch. Oh, come on, Bubba. You've told some crazy stories before, but this is unreal. You want me to believe that? But come meet Jesus, Mom. You'll see how amazing it was. I mean, what a wonderful opportunity that whole thing was. And you know, when something like that happens, you can't just forget it. You're going to be talking about that for the rest of the day, for the rest of the week. The fact that you got to feed 10,000, 14,000 people because Jesus multiplied the food. So they're thinking about it throughout the day. Jesus sends the disciples over on a ship. And Jesus goes up in a mountain to pray. And so if you're in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. Has anybody ever been on a boat? Been on a boat? Isn't it fun when the boat's in the air? No, it's not. Boats are supposed to stay in the water, nice and smooth. I don't want it to be jumping in the air. I mean, if it's on purpose and then I jumped a wave, that's for fun. That's different. But when I'm in a boat that's not going very fast and it's being thrown by the waves, thrown in the air back and forth, I would not be very comfortable because it's pitch black and the waves are tossing boats and says the wind was contrary. Okay, so I'm not a sailor, but to the best of my knowledge, if you're in a storm, you want to put the boat into the wind, right? So you're like sailing into the wind in order to keep damages down, as far as I know. But it's very hard to do when the wind is being contrary. You know what that means, to be contrary? Okay, so a contrary person is like if you say, oh, well, I think that the time is actually this. And they're like, no, the time is actually this. Oh, okay, well, sorry. That's good. Well, no, actually, that's wrong also. And they're contradicting you every single thing you say. They're constantly being contrary. They're always coming at the opposite direction, and they are never agreeing with you. And so when the wind is being contrary, that means it's constantly coming from a different direction. Am I making it hard on you back there, all the walking around? It's like up here. He's like, you know, I'm just going to stand up here and make it easy. The wind is coming all over the place. And it's constantly making things hard to control. And so this is the situation that the disciples are in right now. And in the fourth watch of the night, where it's very pitch black, And they didn't have big searchlights like boats have nowadays. Okay, so, you know, maybe a little bit of light from the moon, maybe a flash of lightning or, whatever here or there. But it's very, very dark. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, when I was young and my mom was doing the flannel graph, does anybody remember flannel graph? Right? You know, where you had the board there and you put the little felt things there and they stuck there. It was nice. And it was, a good visualization for the kids. But when they told the story of Jesus walking on water, it was always, there was the little sun up here, blue sky. There's a wave here. And Jesus, you just put Jesus walking on the water. It's nice and simple. That's not the way it is. It's pitch black and the waves are crazy all over the place, throwing boats. And it's pitch black and the wind is coming from every which direction. And Jesus is walking in the middle of this. So how did that look? I mean, was he walking? And wherever he walked, it kind of just became still and nice and smooth. Because it's easier to walk on smooth water, right? So much easier to walk on smooth water than it is to walk on wavy water. Because has anybody ever walked on water? No? Okay, how many people have tried? I know you adults should raise your hands, because I know you guys tried when you were little, didn't you? You went to the swimming pool and you thought, if I run fast enough, I can at least get a couple feet, and you never did, because nobody can walk on water, no matter how smooth it is. But so is it becoming still, or does Jesus have to walk up the waves and then kind of run down the waves, or is he like doing kind of parkour over the waves, jumping over, do a little bit of flip here and there? Because Jesus is incredible. Jesus is awesome. Who's to say he didn't like to have a little bit of fun and jump over the waves a little bit? Does say he walked on the water, maybe flipping here and there is part of the walking. That's just the way I like to visualize it. So Jesus is walking in the middle of all this, regardless, on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit!" And they cried out for fear, like a good group of men would in the middle of a crazy storm, a whole bunch of guys on a boat. "Ah, we're going to die! We're going to die!" Because they were manly men. And so they're so scared of the circumstances around them. And then Jesus comes up, but straightway Jesus said unto them, "Be of good cheer." Be of good cheer? That's a wonderful greeting for like Christmas time. Be of good cheer. What a weird... But when Jesus says it, it's different. He's like, "Guys, stop the crying and whining. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And the words of Jesus just comfort and soothe and calm. And so the guys began to calm down a little bit. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." I wonder if the other disciples were like, "What did I just hear? What did Peter say? It's still loud. The waves are still going crazy. The wind is still coming from everywhere. I don't know if I heard this correct. Did Peter just say, 'Let me come out of the boat and walk on the water?'" He did. He just asked to come out of the water. What is he thinking? You know what he was thinking? So earlier today, I watched Jesus feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and I got to be a part of that. I got to be a part of feeding 5,000 people. The Lord let me be a part of that, and I helped feed 5,000 people with my little basket that never ran out, and God let me do that. I wonder if he'll let me be a part of that. Why not? You have not because you ask not. So Peter's like, might as well ask. Well, if he says no, then no. But I want to come out there and do that too. And then Jesus looked at him and said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." He began to look around, and then he thought, wait a second, I can't walk on water. Guess what? You never could. You never had the ability in yourself to walk on water. But you did walk on water when you were looking where? At Jesus. When your eyes were on Jesus, it didn't matter what you could do or what you're able to do. It didn't matter what you wanted to do. It didn't matter what the circumstances around you were. When your eyes were on Jesus, you walked on water. And that amazes me. When our eyes are on Jesus, It no longer matters what I think I can do. It no longer matters about the storm of life that's going on around me. It no longer matters the circumstances that surround me that make me think I can't. That doesn't matter when my eyes are on Jesus. Because when my eyes are on Jesus, there's nothing that he can't do. And it changes what I think about is possible when my eyes are on Jesus and not on me. When my eyes are on me and my qualifications or my abilities, and then I get affected by that and I can't. But when my eyes are on Jesus, it changes. And so then Jesus says, lift up your eyes, look up here, see me, and then look on the fields. Knowing who I am and what I can do in your life, I need you to look at the need around you. You see, there's people that need you. There's people that need you to give them the gospel. There's people that need to be given the truth from God's word about how to be saved. It's white. They need it now. They are ready right now. And it's easy for us to look at the need around us, at the world around us, and say, the world is just wicked. The world is just completely going the opposite way. What difference can we make? What difference can I make? Well, does anybody know how to eat an elephant? One bite. So it's not about how big the task is. It's about me just saying, God, regardless of what I can do or what I think I can do or what I want to do, when my eyes are on you and I see the need around me, I'll just start going one by one. If I bring in one person and that one person gets saved, it's already been worth it. It's already been amazingly worth it. But then to get another one, and then to get another one. And then when that one that you brought in goes out and gets one, that's fantastic. But you never know when your eyes are down, when you're so focused on all the things that have us distracted, all the things that have our attention. So let's lift up our eyes, see Jesus for who he is, and then through the power of God, go out and make a difference in people's lives. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, I thank you that you would let somebody like me be a missionary. Lord, that I get to serve you with my whole life is just the best thing that I could have ever done. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this church, Lord, and for the opportunity to be here tonight. God, I pray that, Lord, you'll help and encourage in some way. Lord, I love you so much. I pray that you'll, Lord, just keep us safe. Lord, I do pray that you'll be with Pastor's daughter. And Lord, that you'll just help her. Lord, give her comfort. Give her rest tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with the doctors, Lord, and to give them knowledge and skill and focus, Lord, to help take care of the issue just right. And Lord, we pray that you'll help there. In Jesus' name.